Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know what a fan I am of Dr. Tim Spector and the work he's doing with Zoe. I was first introduced to his work in 2015, and I've been following his research ever since. What I love most about the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast is that they have weekly interviews with world-leading experts who explain how their latest research can benefit your health. Recently, I was thrilled to finally meet him face-to-face as we recorded an episode for the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast, and this episode aired on April 11th. We had a chance to talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study, and I had the opportunity to explain the clean fast to Jonathan, which may explain why he didn't enjoy his prior experiences with fasting. Search for Zoe Science and Nutrition on your podcast player or on YouTube to hear the latest episode, and don't forget to look for the April 11th episode to hear me, Tim, and Jonathan talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 405 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today I'm here with Marion. Marion lives in the southeast of England, where she is a Pilates instructor. Welcome, Marion.
Hi, Jen. Thank you. Lovely to be here.
It's so nice to talk to you today. And I also want to talk about Pilates later in our conversation since I've just gotten back into it. But you know, I like to start by asking, what brought you to intermittent fasting and when was that?
Yes, thank you. I will do the short bit first.
Okay.
So about 2018, 2019, I was actually teaching a Pilates class and a couple came regularly, and they had talked about Michael Mosley fast plan, I think it was called, and that they had some success on it. So I did look into, I think, yeah, he's British, isn't he? I did look into that.
Was that when his book Fast 800 came out?
I think it was, yes. So I think I did buy the book and had a little read, and I probably lasted about a day, and the whole counting the calories again, and it just all came back to restriction. Didn't work for me, but it planted a seed. And then the second occasion would have been 2020, at the beginning of the pandemic, I think, and I was teaching a one-to-one client this time, had to be outside, and we may have even gone for a walk, I think, and she was telling me that she had fasted, may have been religious purposes, for a very long time, maybe even a week. And I remember thinking, that is so extreme, and what is that about? And crazy, crazy stuff. But I think sometimes, Jin, you talk about the seed being planted.
Right.
And it was then. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you just hear the right thing and you're like, huh, I remember hearing about that. Let me dig in a little bit more.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And being 2020, our time all changed, didn't it? And that was the beginning of the journey. Yes.
Okay. So when you finally heard about it a second time and you were ready, how did you begin looking into it? What did you research? What did you find?
I think the one-to-one client, I think she did mention Jason Fung.
Okay.
So The Obesity Code. And yes, I bought the book and I did read it from cover to cover. Some of it quite difficult to grasp and understand, but it really did make me sit up and think there's something here and I really want to research this. Then I think that may have led that on to you as well. I think you may have had your Facebook group then, which I'm not really a social media person, but I think I did join your group. You would have had that about 2020.
We left in 2021. So yeah, okay. That was when we were giant. It was like 2020 yes. was crazy Facebook days.
Yes. So just started to be interested around that time. Yeah.
So when you got started, how did you kind of ease in? What approach really resonated with you? What did you do?
Yes. So I'll do the kind of backstory childhood.
Okay, that's perfect.
In a minute. But just from there onwards, I didn't really know what I was doing. You know, I your book was great. And I think a lot of your podcasters kind of say that the Jason Fung is good and yeah, but yours just was a pleasure to read.
Did you start really with Fast, Feast, Repeat or Delayed on Deny?
Which was your second one? I think Fast, Feast, Repeat, was that the second one?
That's the one. It came out in June of 2020.
That would be the one. Yes.
That's the one. Yeah.
That was the one.
And really, The Obesity Code was one reason why I wrote my first book, Delayed on Deny, because it was excellent for understanding why fasting worked. But it didn't really tell you what to do. There's like a little appendix in the back with a little ADF in there, alternate day fasting. But it's like, you're like, huh, what if I don't want to do ADF? What if I want to do, you know, daily eating window? So.
Yes. Yes.
Giving people all the options so that they can customize something that works for them.
Yes. So it was great. But did you want me to kind of go back?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah, okay. So tell us your whole story with all that.
So childhood was good, happy. My mum's Dutch and things were cooked from scratch, healthy meals, four children, happy childhood in the 70s, really, before all the processed foods arrived and things changed. And then I became, I guess, aware of weight maybe in my teens. So I don't know how it works in the States, but kind of going from school to college would have been 16 to about 18, I guess. That would have been the early 80s. So it was all the hard Jane Fonda aerobics, low fat, you know, and so on and so forth. And I didn't really at the time have much of a weight issue, but there was a lot of pressure then, I remember, in the 80s, you know, being a teenager. And I think where I'm going to call it disordered eating rather than an eating disorder, where it started for me, sadly, was a boyfriend that just said that I was too fat.
I would like to punch him in the face. Get him on time travel.
Maybe I wouldn't be here now, you know, so yeah. And yes, that wasn't good. And that really started a bit of a cycle for me with binge eating, diets, failed diets. And sadly, I did have an episode of bulimia due to that. And that was quite a dark time. But I kind of was on this roller coaster of diets and counting calories and not feeling good enough, too much exercise. And I didn't take just this, you know, that you have in your head going on, don't you? This cycle that you just can't seem to break free or understand.
That was a time, you know, going back and thinking about it, that really was a time when body image was big. Like aerobics was taking off, like you said. And I really think prior to that, I mean, people were not walking around in tights and leotards and, you know, showing off all their bodies prior to that. And so I think that did put a different kind of focus on us when we were,
yes,
you know, teenagers and young adults during that time. There was a whole lot of pressure to let's get physical, like, you know, Olivia Newton-John said, and flash dance. And you remember those leotards that were really high cut, like the leg warmers, the scrunchy yes. socks. Yeah, but I get it. And just that was that one comment, really, that boyfriend with the one comment that really just sent you down that spiral.
Yes, exactly.
And like, what was your weight right around that time? What was it?
I'm kind of guessing, right, pounds. We've got to do some pounds here.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. So probably 135, 40, 140.
And how tall are you?
I'm 5'7", 5'7".
Okay, so yeah. When we do that math, for someone who is 5'7", 135 to 140 is by no means, there's no chance that's fat or overweight. I mean, all bodies have squishy parts. So he was probably like, you have squishy parts, you're too fat, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah, sure. And comparing. And, you know, I think then a lot of people say too, I hear on the podcast, they think that they had an issue then, and then they get old and you look back and you think, I look great, you know? So yes, it was the difficult years as well, isn't it, when you're that age. So that was me really through that time, and that really sent off to the diet roller coaster, Jim. Yes, it really did. Yeah, and the calorie counting and just not feeling good enough and always feeling hungry. You know, it was, well, I'll have a half a grapefruit for breakfast, and you know, and you think that's going to keep you going, and low fat this, and oh, just awful, constantly hungry. Yeah.
That sounds absolutely miserable. A half a grapefruit and then like not having anything else. I would be like chewing off my arm. And that's why, you know, it's for people who have not fasted, it's so hard to understand that eating nothing is actually way easier than eating half a grapefruit.
Exactly. You're so true. Yeah. So, so true. Yes. Completely. Yeah.
So you were on that roller coaster, and mainly calorie counting and low fat is what you looked to.
Yes. And I can't remember if I had scales then. I probably did somewhere. And that probably went on for about 2 or 3 years, the binge eating and the bulimia. You know, I never really got help with it. I never really, it's quite a secretive thing, isn't it? And that was probably from the age of 16, I guess, to about 20. And
you know, I want to pop in here. The urge to binge can really come from over-restriction. So, you know, you're beating yourself up for what was perceived as, you know, this binging, and then you had to purge it. But it was really probably your body responding to the over-restriction that you were trying to do and then sending you that signal, eat, 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 eat. And so it's hard to fight biology, right? And so you did. You're like, well, I've got my body sending me the signal. So you would eat, and then you would purge. And so, you know, letting go of the shame of that and understanding biologically why it happened, it was just because you were trying so hard to follow the diet advice. And that just, but our bodies don't like low calorie restrictive diet plans, especially if we couple them with too much exercise.
No, you're so right. You're so right. And it was, you know, I feel I've learned from it, and that's brought me to now. And then actually what happened, I got down to, I'm putting this in pounds, which is quite shameful, about 108 pounds.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't think that I was anorexic or something, but I think I was maybe borderline. Maybe I had, is it body dysmorphia at the time or
yes.
something? Yeah. Anyway, it was actually a Keep Fit instructor that said to me one day, you look terrible, you've got to do something about this, this is not good with all these classes and da 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 da. And it came from her, and I thought, right, okay, yeah. And I think I ditched the boyfriend, that finished.
Good.
And yeah, so
it, I hope he's had a terrible life. Sorry.
So no, it's fine, it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And that comment from her, I had a look at myself and I thought, yeah. And then I've probably had a few years of which I guess a lot of people go through, particularly on this podcast, of not so much binge eating, but just finding it difficult to lose weight. The weight did creep up. And again, I've never been huge, but I think I probably went up to, I've written it here somewhere because you want everything. Right, so we're talking, it's about 11 and a half stone, over 11 stone. So what's that in pounds? I should have highlighted things.
That's all right. We can do some math.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny when we think through the rest of the world here in America, you know, we had, what did you say, 11 and a half stone? I can do that. Yeah. I'm doing the conversion right now. Here in America, you know, we have different, yeah, we don't use the metric system. But then when I talk to a Brit, the stones are even more confusing.
They really are.
So that's like 154 pounds. Wait, somewhere, well, between, it's between 154 and 168. So halfway in between that. So
yes.
you were in the low 160s. About
161, 162. Yeah.
Okay, 161 to 162. Yeah. So you were possibly just barely in the overweight category for your height, but it probably, after being at a low of 108, I can imagine it felt like a lot.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And it was just these few years of, I tried Weight Watchers for a bit as well. And, you know, the weight did yo-yo as well for me, probably within about 14, 20 pounds, I guess, always that coming off and going back on and so on and so forth. And that just seems to go on. It just seems to be part of your life, doesn't it? You're just on this thing. And then I met my current husband when I was about 31, and he just accepted me for who I was. I can't remember what I weighed then, probably lost a bit then, probably wasn't quite 160 pounds. And then within quite a short time, I was expecting our daughter, and she's now 26. And I did actually not gain much in pregnancy. And after I had her, I lost quite a lot of weight as well. Just the lack of sleep and,
yeah,
you know, not having time to eat. And yes. So that was about 1997. And then the weight crept up, and age, you know, 30 to 50, again, back to that same pound thing that I was saying about varying between 140, 160, and so on.
And you know, you look around at your friends, right? And that just seems normal. Everybody else is doing the same thing, yo-yoing, and you're either on a diet and getting it off, and then you let loose, and then you gain it back. And did you find, like I did, that the cycles got, you know, you yo-yoed quicker? It was kind of like you would fight to get it off, and then it would, bam, there it was, even faster.
Yes, and just nothing worked. And yeah, I'm so interested in health and nutrition anyway, and I was just looking at all these different things that come, think, this is it, don't you? And then it just goes on and on, doesn't it? And then you just think, what am I doing? You know, and even times when I felt I was eating relatively healthy, but every 2 to 3 hours, because that's what we're told, aren't we? It's the three meals, isn't it? It's the, yes, you have breakfast when you get up and you have a cup of tea, and we do in Britain, you know, with a biscuit at 9 or 10 o'clock at night, and you've got to keep yourself full. And
a biscuit, yeah, is a cookie, right?
Yes. Yeah, a cookie for you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Optimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency. And in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Optimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories
promo code IFSTORIES10 to get your magnesium breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's buyoptimizers.com/IFSTORIES, promo code IFSTORIES10. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for clean eating, delivering pre-portioned and prepped quality whole foods with limited processed ingredients. Green Chef sends organic, fresh produce, responsibly sourced proteins, and chef-designed recipes in every box for satisfying, nourishing, and convenient meals that fit in beautifully to my cleanish lifestyle, and the food is totally window-worthy. Tonight, we're having barbecue sweet potato tacos with cabbage and carrot slaw, black beans, corn, and cheesy tortillas, and they come with Green Chef's chimichurri sauce. So good. Go to greenchef.com/IFSTORIES50 and use the promo code IFSTORIES50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. That's greenchef.com/IFSTORIES50. And don't forget to use the promo code IFSTORIES50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months.
Yeah. Because that's what we're told. So you think, well, as long as I eat less, but I eat every 2 or 3 hours, because that's what you're told to do, it just, yeah.
Doesn't right. And, no, and I just really never felt happy or satisfied trying to eat those tiny little meals. Like, you never got to feel full or satisfied, ever.
Exactly.
That was the worst.
Yes, so right. Yeah.
So that so happened then, from about 30 to 50.
Yes, and then 50 happened. Uh-huh. And then of course happened.
Wah.
And that was about 2014 for me, age 50. And, you know, again, menopause, thank goodness it's being talked more about now, because I felt from 50 to the age I am now, I'm 60 this year, that the two things that I've really felt privileged and thankful to learn about is intermittent fasting and the menopause. And both those things have put me in a very good place.
I'm so glad.
Of getting to where you need to be. And sometimes, you know, when you know how good feels and then you don't feel good, you want to get back to that place, don't you?
Yes.
So, yeah, I just felt a bit, not ashamed, but just, I really didn't know much about menopause. I don't think I even knew the word perimenopause, having gone through perimenopause.
But it's crazy. I remember feeling it being like, you know, like what's happening. And I would, you know, you might would have a cycle, because like, I religiously was trying, I had this app that tracked my period. And so I would track it all the time. And then all of a sudden in perimenopause, I would have like a cycle that was like, I'd be on day like 47. And I'm like, am I pregnant? Then I would take a pregnancy test. And, you know, I didn't know that was normal or expected. And yeah, all the. I'm glad we're finally talking about it. It's because there's a lot of us now, and we're not the generation who's just going to sit back and be all. Yeah, we're like, what's
so
happening?
Right.
Yeah, we came up in the information age where we could find things out.
Yes, and we have to be thankful for that. And it did take a lot of research. And again, with anything, I like to look at the real research and get to the root of it. And I had 4 years of not wanting to take HRT, just because we were still in that, is it okay for you? So 4 years of trying natural alternatives and things, and they didn't work for me. I understand we're all different. And then in about 2018, I did go on to HRT. And that, again, probably took a good 2 to 3 years to get the balance right and to understand. Here in the UK, we have the NHS, but we can also go private as well. And I think I was lucky I could see a private menopause doctor as well. So I could get all the information and collate it and work it out and tweak it. And of course, you know, your levels change as well. And that's been a journey for sure with understanding and wanting to do the right thing for your body as naturally as you can, isn't it, really?
It's true. I had a very interesting conversation with somebody in the Delay Don't Deny community a couple of weeks ago, and great community member who was, you know, on the other side of menopause and was struggling with the idea of hormone replacement therapy. Like you said, there's so much confusing information about that out there. And it came down to a comment that she said that was so eye-opening to me. She said, I like to handle things more naturally. So there was like the perception that hormone replacement therapy is unnatural. And then she was like, well, isn't menopause natural? So then I started to think about it. And when we think about human lifespan in the past and how long women lived, you know, the average life expectancy for women was upper 40s, you know, for whatever reason. But we lived till our upper 40s. Well, the average age of menopause is 51. So if you put those together, is it, quote, natural for us to live for 50 years with no hormones? No, our bodies were really not designed for that. The hormones do so much more than just, you know, give us a period or help us be fertile. So, and I also thought about it like hormones are more than just our estrogen and our progesterone. Like we have insulin. Insulin's a hormone. So what happens if your body stops producing insulin for some reason? Something happens to your pancreas. It no longer produces insulin. You take insulin. You take insulin because your body needs that hormone. And so I want everybody to think about bioidentical hormone replacement the same way. You know, if we want to live more youthful as we age, we need hormones for that. And no one would feel like, well, maybe I shouldn't take insulin because my body decided to stop making it and that's natural. But it's not natural to not have it. So anyway, when I really thought about it that way, I was like, well, hormone replacement therapy is, you know, quote, natural because that's your body's natural healthy state. Anyway,
yeah.
Thank you for coming to my
really
TED Talk.
No, thank you. Because we do have to, and you know, what I didn't understand that once your estrogen is gone, it's gone.
Right.
It's, hasn't it? You know, and
yeah.
I guess we all manage that differently in our bodies. But again, I was explaining the difference with tablets and transdermal and all these things. And the benefits as well. You know, I think a doctor, she sat me down. She said, well, yeah, you're pretty healthy. And here's the statistics. And for someone that hardly drinks, which is me, you know, doesn't smoke, healthy, is that I'm less at risk taking the HRT than someone who wouldn't be taking it and may make the wrong choices. She just said that and showed me that. So that, yes, I kind of understand it. I'm comfortable with it. I feel good on it. You might need to change the prescription up or down as things change. But that has really been an education and quite an eye-opener in a good way, because us poor women, you know, we have to suffer in silence. We think we just got to get on, and just some people have a horrible time, don't they, emotionally or physically, and we shouldn't. We should be embracing this time of our life.
And our hormones affect us more than just, like I said, our, you know, whether we're having, you know, cycles or periods or fertility. They affect our bone density. They affect our cardiovascular health. All those things are important. So for anybody listening, find a doctor who gets it. You know, like Marion's doctor and my friend Tabitha Barber, who's a functional medicine OBGYN, who set me down and said, you need to do this. And you know, it makes me feel so much better. I'm in a health and wellness community of mostly functional medicine-minded people. All the women who are hormone experts all use bioidentical hormones themselves. They don't just prescribe them. They use them themselves. And so when you see what the experts are doing personally, that's a good confirmation of, okay, I want to do what the experts are doing.
Yes.
So I'm glad you had a doctor. And for everyone who does not, you can find one. There are people out there who can help you. Anyway.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's getting the right person.
It is.
So that was good. But then I got to a place where I wasn't too bothered about my weight. I mean, obviously in my job, I'm setting an example. You have to look fit and well. It was how I was feeling, Jin. Mm-hmm. Totally. And 2020, you know, pandemic, and I started to do some exercise with my daughter outside. We started some weight training. I've never really, although I've ran and I've taught Pilates for a long time, I didn't know or really understand the importance of body weight and weight training, which I'm quite ashamed
muscle
to say.
Mass.
Muscle mass. There you
right.
go. Yeah.
Well, you know, don't be ashamed about that, because think back to when we grew up, right? It was all aerobics. Mm-hmm. It was all the idea of aerobics to get your weight down. It was not about muscle mass. No one was telling us that.
Yes. And how much you burn and how much you eat, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
Which is,
right.
Yeah. Yes. So we did some of that. And I think at the time we were just talking about, let's track our macros and our carbs and our fats and let's, you know, all this stuff. Because I'm thinking, okay, Marion, so you're on HRT, you're feeling good about that. You're eating well, eating every 3 hours a bag of nuts or an apple and then something else and something else. But it's not too bad. You know, you're not depriving yourself. But what is going on? I just did not feel great. I was going to bed with stomach aches. I was just not feeling good. I was tired. My joints ached. And I was thinking, I'm doing everything, Jen, you know, there's something missing. And that, again, you know, when you find certain points in this whole story, this was another, what is going on? I just want to feel better. And of course, at the same time, I'd had this seed planted about the intermittent fasting. And I was thinking, how come some people just seem to be slim and comfortable and others aren't, and what are they doing? And just started to kind of, you know, dig a little deep there. So read your book, and I can tell you the 18th of January 2021 was my first day of intermittent fasting.
Awesome.
And I never looked back. So we're 3 years.
Fabulous.
Now.
Awesome.
Yes. And I read, I think your words were, don't weigh for a month.
Right.
I didn't.
Good for
didn't.
You. Thank you.
I took measurements. I took pictures and I put those scales away. And I said to myself, I'm not depriving myself of anything. I'm going to start with a 12-hour window.
Yeah, you're just easing in. And let me pop in there. Why, you know, in case people haven't read Fast, Feast, Repeat or my new book, 28-Day Fast Start Day by Day. And Marion, in the new book, I actually have on every day by day, they check off that they did not weigh that day. Like, that's one of the things. Like, I fasted clean, check. I did not weigh, check. And there's a reason why. And it's because of all of my years running the groups from Facebook and now on the private community and seeing people who are starting. And we're so used to, you know, you start a diet, you know, and I'm saying that in quotation marks because intermittent fasting is not a diet, but you start a diet and most diets that we've done in the past, you're rewarded with quick weight drop early on. And then, of course, it peters out and, you know, it gets worse over time. But with intermittent fasting, we don't see that quick weight loss at the very beginning. A lot of us don't. So I've seen a lot of people get super discouraged during the adjustment period because the scale is not doing what it did in the past and they were expecting to lose weight quickly. And then they're like, what's wrong? And I hate this. I'm going to quit. So if you can just stay off the scale, everybody who's listening, trust me, you want to cement the intermittent fasting habit like Marion did, and then you can start seeing what your weight is doing. Anyway, all right, back to that. So you started off with 12, yeah. Just 12 hours.
Yeah, 12. And then I thought, you know, the first few days, oh, yeah.
I can do it.
And then I think at 13, 14, and I just slowly went into it. And again, it was the pandemic, so I went on walks and things. And I do remember feeling hungry, but just keep hydrated, keep focused. I think there might have been a few headaches initially and tired, I'd say the first week or two, particularly after I'd eaten. Yes, so if I delay the breakfast or something, yeah.
That's really, really typical for the adjustment period, you know, having the headaches and being really tired. And the being tired after eating is more pronounced at first. That does get better over time. Although I will say, you know, I never have quite as much energy after I eat than I did during the fasted state. So I like to plan my work for before, like when I'm fasted, and then when I eat, I'm more ready to relax. But yeah, that's all very, very normal.
Yes. And I just thought I'd just stick with this. I didn't necessarily think it's this time and this time. I just thought I'd delay things. And it was a process. And I think after about a month, just 3-4 weeks, maybe, I just began to feel better. I thought maybe this is the missing part of the puzzle. This is the feel good. And it was really never about the scales for me at all. And then after a month, I've written it down here. So I did weigh, I think starting was about 160, did we say? About something like that, 161. And after 1 month, I was down to 145 pounds.
Wow, that was a great month. All right, everybody. Yeah. This is what's really funny. People in the, you know, I also talk in both Fast Feast Repeat and the 28-day fast start day by day. Do not expect weight loss during the first month. And you might even see a little weight go up when you weigh on day 29. And when we just did a community fast start from January 4th to January 31st, and there were people who did have, like you, 15 pounds or something dramatic at the first month. And then there were other people who were like, I was up 2 pounds. And that was such a disappointment. But most people do not have a giant weight loss during the first month. But I know it felt good to see it anyway.
Yeah, I didn't expect it at all.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to get, I think you often say diet brain. I wanted to get off that completely.
It was a happy surprise.
Yes, it was. And then, you know, I just fell into intermittent fasting. And I think it gets stronger with you the longer you do it, the stronger, as in the better, and the lifestyle and the not thinking about it. And yeah, complete life change, completely with everything. And I do track. I like, I'm not a maths person and I haven't got a mathematical brain, Jin, but I do like to write things down and progress and so on and take measurements and things like that and BMI and all that kind of stuff. So I have done that just out of interest, but I'd never had a set goal weight or anything. But I think my body has adapted this so well. It feels so finely tuned now to intermittent fasting. And I, like a lot of people, I'm realistic. I have days where, you know, they are laps. It is always a kind of fast, if you like to call it. I wouldn't, you know, eat for 12 hours. I wouldn't want to go back to that place. I did once try a 36 hour.
How did that feel?
Wasn't for me. No, just wasn't.
It's worth trying. And, you know, some people, the first time they try it, it isn't for them. And then they may be motivated to try it again for other reasons, like they're plateaued or, you know, many, many different reasons to try it. But yeah, I understand. I like to eat every day.
Yes. So. Yes. And when you say that, I get that.
You're like, oh, yeah, I feel that. Yeah.
And I think that what everyone else, which you talk about a lot, is you do need to tweak it. And I was thinking, okay, so I've lost this weight and this is, yes, 16:8. And then other people are talking about other things and you're thinking, should I be doing longer fasts? Should I be eating more in my window, less in my window? And you just want to get it right. But then what is right? Because your body does tell you, doesn't it?
It does. So you kind of have settled into a 16:8. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, 16:8. Mm-hmm. Between a 16:8 and a 24. So between that, really. Yeah.
It just varies from day to day.
Yeah, I guess 16 is a sweet one. Yeah.
You made an excellent point there. There is no, quote, right. And that's the part that is, it's both freeing, but also frustrating for a lot of people because they want me to tell them or someone to tell them, here's exactly the window you should have for whatever. Like somebody in the community the other day, they're like, what's the best window for X, fill in the blank? And it was a medical issue that they're having. And I'm like, there is no best window for that. You just have to figure out what works for you. And there's so many tools in our toolbox. And the other day, someone else asked, is there anybody who has success with 16:8? And I answered her, yes, but will you, is the question. And that's the most important question. You know, there are people who have success with 12:12. There are people who have success in their life and they don't do any intermittent fasting. But it's just a matter of figuring out what success looks like for you and what that window will be. And so we're all so different when it comes to that.
Yeah, and no one should feel, you know, you kind of feel that you should be doing that, but you do so have to try different things. And also, you know, I noticed that a really, really big change for me is getting off the ultra processed food.
Oh yeah, that's huge.
And understanding that, you know, when people talk calories, so if anyone's, you know, I'm having that discussion, you'll say, I don't even have Mars bar in the US. Do you have a Mars?
Yes.
A chocolate bar? Yeah.
We do, yeah.
Okay, so a Mars bar and avocado may have the same amount of calories, but when you eat them, how's that all going to be processed? And when I understood that, that was like, ah, great. So it's okay to have full fat yogurt and full fat milk. It's okay to have foods with satiety, you know.
Yes.
All these things were such a game changer, because I don't have those cravings. I'll still have, I'm not a, that's a good food, that's a bad food. But those hanger feelings have gone, the cravings have gone. The, you know, if I'm out and I'm stuck somewhere, I'm unable to get any food, or it's okay, you're gonna be okay, you've got your water, your black coffee or whatever, and it's all right,
worth waiting for something that's window worthy, right?
But
I want to focus back on satiety for a minute, because that is the missing piece for a lot of people. And you know, when we talk about calories in, calories out, and you know, even in Fast Feast Repeat, I say, even though we don't count calories, there's a lot of flaws to counting calories, quote, calories matter, meaning you can actually overeat, right? You know, when you're taking in food energy, there is such a thing as taking in too much food energy, which we can commonly call calories. But, you know, listening to the Zoe podcast and really everyone who understands how food works in the body, hopefully is now communicating the quality of your, quote, calories. Makes a tremendous difference. You know, I could eat 2,000 calories of cheese puffs and I would have very little satiety and I would be starving, and then I would eat more. And so now I've really overeaten. And all those cheese puff calories are very accessible to my body because my body didn't have to do anything to break it down. Whereas if I had 2,000 calories of baked potato with butter and sour cream, man, think about how full I would be from that. Full and satisfied. And so it would also be very delicious.
Yes.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Yeah, so focusing on that.
It's like, yeah. You wean yourself. You can't explain to people, but you just go off that. Things don't taste the same. You know, when you're doing cooking from scratch and wholesome foods, and yeah, I'm fortunate that, you know, you have the time to cook from scratch and stuff, but you just, all that junky stuff just doesn't taste the same, does it, anymore, Jen? You said so yourself. It just does not have that excitement or that flavor or satiety or anything like that at all.
And when you really start connecting it to satiety, and you're like, that really wasn't satisfying, was it? And then you're like, okay, well, I can choose to have that. That's a fun food. That's like a party in your mouth. Okay, but it's not going to make me feel satisfied. And knowing that you're probably going to overeat because you're not satisfied is important. Yesterday, I went Aldi's, a store we have. I'd never been to it here locally. And I was like, I just want to see what they have. And they had this cheese that looked amazing. And these, they have a great assortment of cheese. Do y'all have Aldi's there?
Yes, we do.
And it had these little pita crackers. And I'm like, you know, I haven't had cheese and crackers in quite a while. So I got these little pita crackers and the cheese, and I opened my window with that. I was not even a little bit satisfied from that. It was delicious. And I was like, now I am starving. So, you know, realizing cheese and crackers do not give me satiety at all. Yeah, it's just an important transition. Yeah.
It's like your body does it. The more you get into this lifestyle, your body just knows. You become so in tune with it. You really do. And I never, never expected that at all. You know, because initially I thought, no, I won't take out any, I won't change what I'm eating, I'll just change the window. But over time, you don't want those foods anyway. And you educate yourself more, and it's, and then you think, well, actually, yeah, it's okay to have full fat stuff and things. And
so I really do, like, when I order my meal kit delivery now, I look at the all the options and think, what is going to make me feel really satisfied after I eat it? And that's it. I don't look at the macros, I don't look at carbs, protein, fat. I don't look at anything except what is going to make me feel really satisfied after I eat it. And I know myself well enough to know that, you know, like a pasta dish with just, for whatever reason, like pasta spaghetti does not leave me satisfied. Give me all the rice and the beans, the potatoes, and I'm going to feel great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fascinating, isn't it? And the other thing was the clarity in your brain. So I would sit quite happily, maybe doing some admin, you know, with a packet of crisps or something just to munch on, because you think if I have that, that will keep the brain ticking while I, but actually no, no, the best thing is in a fasted state, really,
right,
to do that. Sometimes I can procrastinate with things and I'll put them off, but all of that has changed. I could do all the housework, and even exercise is just so sharp and in tune for me, predominantly fasted. Absolutely. The clarity, the sharpness, and you just busy yourself and you find that you're a lot more in the moment and in the task, whatever that is, and you there's an add-on feeling thing. Yeah. So I never expected that either, which is huge.
Yeah, it really, really is, because we've been taught, oh, eat food for energy. You need to eat to fuel your body so that you have enough energy to do whatever it is, you know, whatever you're going to do. And then you realize, hey, digestion takes a lot of energy. And so then you realize after I eat, my body is focusing resources on that and I don't have as much energy. It's just such a powerful shift once you understand it, and then you feel it, and then you live it. So you do your Pilates in the fasted state and your instruction?
So Monday to Friday, I don't, because I'm teaching sometimes all of the day. I'm more of a open window. Yeah. Well, I'll explain that. So okay. Monday to Friday, I will have a breakfast. I have pretty much the same. I make my own oats and nuts, linseed, flaxseed, all that kind of stuff. Full fat yogurt, full fat milk, and then that will keep me going. And then if I'm working in the evening, which I do a couple of times, yeah, my window is closed by 4, 5,
okay,
maybe. Yeah, I'm a middle of the late morning, middle of the day. So okay, that's Monday to Friday. And then weekends, I will maybe open the window between 12 and 2. And have a shorter window. I know a lot of people have a longer window. But I don't. And I really like, this is where the clarity comes in, and the admin and the things that I need to do at home, the housework. So, yeah, the window is different at the weekend. Yeah.
But that's so interesting.
It works.
How that works. Yeah, I love it. But over the 3+ years that you've been doing this, you've had a chance to really try things out and see what feels best to you. This is just an example, again, of why there's not just one best way to do it.
I know, you're so true. And I just thought, oh, should I be, you know, when am I going to eat? If I'm doing, not when I'm teaching, I'm very much talking rather than doing, but an instruction, but it's sometimes 3 classes back to back. So it's quite a lot. I just feel for me that I maybe couldn't eat till about 2, and I like to be finished quickly. So I'm better, you know, I'm sometimes done by 4 or 5, really.
That's in just the schedule that works for you.
Yeah, and I like that. I'd really love the weekends waiting that little bit longer. I get so much done. And sometimes I can look and I can think, oh, 18, 20 hours gone and we're doing good. You know, it's all right. And that works. And that will change. I'm on a break this week, so that will shift around a little bit. There'll be longer windows, shorter ones, maybe, you know, skipping out breakfast, having a brunch or eating later. And this is just... So good. It really is. And one thing while I mention it as well, I do run as well myself. And I remember a few years ago, I think it was a 10 mile that I was going to do. And I think it started about 11 or 12 o'clock in the morning. And I don't know whether it was your group or don't know which group, but I just put the question out there. Can I run in a fasted state? You know, am I going to? And Jean, it was the best run. I got a good time, and it was a fasted thing. And actually, you know, I've got fat stores. They kick in. I kept hydrated. And yes, and I do run a couple of times a week. And I used to eat a bowl of porridge years ago and felt terrible, you know, an hour before. Don't need it.
Well, I think that's great. And I want to pop in for someone who's new. If you're not fat adapted yet, you're not going to probably be able to do it. But since Marion is fat adapted, then you can do it. And, you know, you tried it. You asked, could I do it? And people said, try it. And then you could. So that's the thing. Once your body is fat adapted and your body's able to switch fuel sources, you're going to be amazed at what you can do in the fasted state.
Yes, it is truly amazing. It really is.
I love
is.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's wonderful. So tell us about some of your non-scale victories.
Yes. So, well, the energy, the sleeping better. I just really, you know, for someone 60 this year, I feel better probably in my 50s than my 40s. I was looking at have you heard of the Renfo? Is it Renfo scale?
Yeah, I've
scale
heard of that
I
one.
Use. Yeah, I don't know how accurate it is, Jean, but there was something I was just looking at that I was going to share with you today, that I was looking at the biological age. And, you know, 3 years ago, I would have been 56. So my biological age was 57. And now I'm nearly 60. And my biological age has come up as 55.
Yay! So you're literally aging backwards, according to your scale. That's fun.
With the 3 years of intermittent fasting. So it's the energy, it's the clarity. I had a very slight little mole here on my neck, and that's just completely flattened out.
Wow.
Skin is better. I feel I've got more muscle tone. Yes, I am lifting a few more weights now. Just calmness as well. Calm.
That's the thing that it's hard to explain to people who do not live an intermittent fasting lifestyle, that it really does bring you the calmness that you were missing. You know, because trying to find the best diet and lose the weight and you're on a diet, off a diet, that feels frantic. And you're always searching and you're never satisfied. And it's like you're on that diet brain treadmill, but just relaxing into your intermittent fasting lifestyle. Now, I love that you said you never had a goal. You didn't have a goal weight. You just relaxed into the process. You tweaked it till it was easy. And now you're just letting your body do what it does as you work to build muscle and find a lifestyle you enjoy.
And I have lost more weight than that. Yes, it did. It's dropped to about, where are we? About 135.
Wow. So you have dropped back to the weight where your body was when you were young.
Yes. Yes. And I have good nutrition. I sometimes have three meals a day. You know, I don't know if you call what I'm describing as breakfast as a meal.
You might have three eating opportunities within an 8-hour period.
Yes. Yeah. And I just feel this is, as you say, with a lot of people, I never saw myself younger as a small boned person, but sorry, squeaky chair, but I think I am, you know, I'm quite bones, I think like yourself.
Yeah. I've got the little bitty wrists. And
yeah. I've got a nice thick waist, but the bones are quite small. So I think I'm more of a kind of brick person.
Your shape.
You know, never, never had the shape there. Yeah. So, yes, and I just don't really mind what the weight is. You know, when people say I've lost a pound or this, it goes up and it goes down, doesn't it? And it has always been about this whole journey was just to feel good. And that's what this has brought me. And I can't tell people that enough, that it doesn't matter. You don't have to plan things because you just take each day how you feel, and you know you're going to be okay if you can't get something to eat straight away, or, you know, rather than have to make a choice of some kind of junk food, you can go without, and you can wait till you get home and have something nutritious. And, you know, it just serves you what you want it to. It's just amazing. Just amazing. Life-changing.
It really, really is. And for everybody who's new or new-ish and listening to this, you really do figure it out over time, like Marian is saying. You know, I'm almost 10 years in. Marian is over 3 years in. You stop what in your early days, you might be like making plans, like this is what I'm going to do tomorrow and the next day, and you're like planning what it's going to be. And then as you relax into the process and learn to listen to your body and trust your body, you don't do that anymore. You just settle in. You're like, will I eat now? I don't know. I would like to. I'm not sure. I can wait. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. But you learn to just do it intuitively.
Exactly.
So you've gotten to that point where it feels intuitive.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. And it really, and not that guilt of, you know, worrying if you do have something that you fancy either. And the whole drinking thing too. I think you might stop drinking now.
I've completely stopped drinking. Yeah. Like I don't drink anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of nearly there, and I'm not thinking I might not, but really it's just one night a week for me, one drink. I've had weeks of nothing because I feel better not drinking. But then sometimes I just think, yeah, that's okay. But it's not good to it wasn't for me to drink regularly. It just didn't agree with my body, particularly with menopause as well.
Yeah, that's really the turning point. Looking back, there are a lot of clues over my life that my body didn't process alcohol as well as other people I knew, like my college friends. And as we got older, they still continue to be able to process alcohol well, and I got worse and worse at it. But realizing that's just one thing about my body, and I can have a lot of fun with a wine glass full of club soda.
Yeah.
Although I was at an event in Arizona just over a week ago, and it was like this really fancy dinner at this country club kind of setting, and there was a free wine and it was dry farm wine, like, and it was free, and there was champagne, and it was included, right, as part of the event. And so I'm like, I would like to have club soda in a champagne glass. And the bartender said, you're going to have to pay for that. That's extra. I'm like, so you're telling me I could have free champagne or I have to pay for club soda? I was like, I am not paying you for club soda. So I just drank regular plain water. And I was like,
oh, dear.
Anyway, I was a little mad about that. But I was like, you could just go over there and get some club soda out of the little bar wand. It shouldn't be very expensive. But somebody else paid like $7 for a club soda. I'm like, I'm not doing that. Anyhow, I feel like that was the real test for me. And I didn't even think about having champagne. I wasn't like, well, I'll just have champagne then because it's all I can get and it's free. Instead, I was like, well, I'm not drinking free wine just because it's free anyway.
Yeah.
How far I've come. You know, have you had any health changes? It sounds like your health has always been good.
Yes, it has. I did just really briefly. I was diagnosed last year with non-Hodgkin lymphoma.
I don't know if you've heard of that.
Yeah. So it is cancer. I can say that. Mm-hmm. But fortunately, not breast cancer.
Good.
So I am, and again, I think intermittent fasting has helped me deal with it all. And I go for regular blood tests. So it's a cancer that would be more invasive to treat than to leave. So they leave it, and I have regular blood tests, and there might come a time that those bloods might change and I may need treatment. But Jin, I feel, you know, it's such a shock because I feel so well. I really do. And they're always very, very pleased. I have no symptoms. So had I not gone for that mammogram, and, you know, they wouldn't have found it. So I feel very thankful, very, very thankful. That was last year. And it just helped me. The fasting has helped me get through the whole process and know that I'm doing the right thing. And Yes, it is what it is, isn't it?
I had a very good college friend who went through that, and she's fully on the other side of it. But yeah, I know it's a scary thing to be going through as well. But.
It is.
Well, we are almost out of time. What would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting, or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
Right. So anyone starting out, just do what you feel is right. I know you do hear this a lot, don't you? I'm going to say one thing. Put the scales away and just that really worked for me. Put them away and just go on the journey of, let's just see after a month. Don't expect anything at all within that month. And then maybe from a month onwards that might be. So definitely for sure, because it is such a change. It really is from what most of us are used to, this constant eating and not allowing our body to just have that pause button, really. So I would say that. And what do I wish I'd have known? I think... really, it kind of goes a little bit about what I've said, but yes, trust your intuition. You know, I didn't, when I did that 36-hour fast, I was like, oh my goodness, have I failed? Other people do 2 days and this, that, and I just thought, no, it's okay. I might be a 12, 14 hour, whatever, and I'll just try different things on different days. So It really, really, I can't say that enough. And I'm not even saying now that I'm always going to be on this 16-8 or weekends, or you just can adapt. You can adapt it when you go on holiday. You know, if you're ill, I had a cold last week, you know, you don't always feel like eating. Other times you really feel like eating, and you can do all of that. You can do it all.
You are empowered to always decide what feels right to your body. And I think the key is really not comparing your journey to somebody else's. And you've got a lot of unique things. Every single person listening is going to have a slightly different journey.
Yes.
And it's just having permission to experiment and be your own study of one. I think that's the most important thing.
Yes. See it like that. Just see it as that rather than a weight loss and beating yourself up and having to get to that weight. Absolutely. Just do it.
Well, Marion, thank you so much for being here and sharing your story today.
Thank you, Jen. It's just been a real pleasure to chat with you today. Thank you so much. And thank you for all what you're doing. And your next book is going to go in my Amazon cart.
Awesome.
For sure.
Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's G-I-N @intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.
For more than two centuries, the White House has been the stage for some of the most dramatic scenes in American history. Inspired by the hit podcast American History Tellers, Wondery and William Morrow present the new book, The Hidden History of the White House. Each chapter will bring you inside the fierce power struggles, the world-altering decisions, and shocking scandals that have shaped our nation. You'll be there when the very foundations of the White House are laid in 1792, and you'll watch as the British burn it down in 1814. Then you'll hear the intimate conversations between FDR and Winston Churchill as they make plans to defeat Nazi forces in 1941. And you'll be in the Situation Room when President Barack Obama approves the raid to bring down the most infamous terrorist in American history. Pre-order The Hidden History of the White House now in hardcover or digital editions wherever you get your books.
I feel like I was blindsided.
Because it's a competition show.
from the producers of Jury Duty and The Bachelor.
We have scoured the earth for the 14 greatest reality contestants that were available during our production window.
Comes a reality competition show about reality competition shows.
Nobody has dared to find out who is the actual best at just being on a reality show. I'm your host, comedian Daniel Tosh.
It's win or go home.
Each episode, our contestants will face new challenges that will test their strength and lack of life skills for a chance to win $200
million.
$200,000.
Prepare, because it's about to be ugly, crying,
lots of fighting.
Tayshia, I have to defend myself.
Celebrating 25 years of reality TV with your favorites.
I have diarrhea. You cannot do this to me.
What in gay hell have I got myself into?
The GOAT, premiering on Freevee and Prime Video on May 9th.